The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Here comes Joe Thornton moving in, and he scores! Number 400 for Joe Thornton! He becomes the seventh man in the history of the NHL to play 1,500 games, have 400 goals, and have 1,000 assists! And he puts the Sharks in front 5-4!
For 15 years, Joe Thornton was a San Jose Sharks Bay Area sports and NHL icon. He won the Art Ross Trophy, the Hart Memorial Trophy, an Olympic gold medal, and he led the San Jose Sharks on deep runs in the Stanley Cup playoffs year after year after year. His bearded visage and his gregarious personality were a perfect fit for the Bay Area, the superstar that never acted like a superstar while performing at the highest levels of his craft. On November 30th, 2005, Thornton was traded to the San Jose Sharks in exchange for forwards Marco Sturm, Wayne Primeau, and defenseman Brad Stewart. News that sent reverberations across the sports world.
Randy Hahn with Drew Remenda. We can now confirm the San Jose Sharks arguably have just made the biggest trade in their history. The Sharks have another Thornton. Joe Thornton from the Boston Bruins comes to the Sharks in exchange for Marco Sturm, Wayne Primeau, and Brad Stewart. Rarely do you see a three-for-one trade, but rarely does a player of Joe Thornton's status move. So Joe Thornton is a San Jose Shark as of tonight. Your thoughts?
Well, you get a superstar. Joe Thornton is a terrific player. Unfortunately for San Jose Shark fans, you lose three great guys. Marco Sturm, Brad Stewart, and Wayne Primeau, all guys that you'd love on your hockey team. But the old saying, you have to give a lot to get a lot. You've got a lot with Joe Thornton. He is the younger cousin of Scott Thornton. He is a guy who is named on Team Canada, will definitely play in the Toronto Olympics. He is a superstar.
For Bay Area sports media, this was a drop-everything moment, as longtime San Jose Mercury News columnist Mark Purdy explains.
When the trade was made, I knew it was a big deal. Funny story from my end is that once a year, my wife and I would go Christmas shopping, and we would set out a date where this is the date we're blocking out. We're never, if something comes up, you can't do it, right? You know, in the news business, this happens, and okay, I'm blocking this out. Nothing will interrupt this. We're going to go Christmas shopping. So we're at the mall, and my phone starts beeping, beeping, beeping. And I said, honey, we got to pick this up. And so I did. It was the Thornton trade. And she said, what happened? And I said, they traded for Joe Thornton. And then she said, well, you got to go write that. She's a big hockey fan. And so I don't know if she sensed how big it was. I knew it was big. But really, then, not until, yes, you saw what Joe could do night in, night out, did I realize this is changing the franchise for the better, or for, you know, for the next however many years in a big, big way.
The Sharks general manager at the time, Doug Wilson, knew that this was a change everything moment.
Well, I was fortunate to meet him in 1997 at the World Juniors, and having met him then and spent any time around him and watching how he earned his ice time on that team, and he was one of the younger players and became a beloved teammate, that was really my beginning of the relationship with Jumbo. Obviously, he was drafted first overall for a reason. For us to be able to acquire him in the prime of his career was something that I'll look back at, and it changed our franchise forever. So, you know, Joe was not hidden. He was one of the best players in the game. He became one of the greatest to ever play. And it was really a privilege for all of us to be able to watch him on to have him become part of the Sharks organization, but watch his entire career. Just absolutely incredible.
Sharks assistant GM Joe Will remembers the wild day that changed Sharks history forever.
Well, I remember it was a lot of chaos that we were doing it basically about an hour and a half prior to a game. So it was a lot of chaos trying to get a hold of a lot of players. I'm very excited at the same moment.
It was an immediate hit.
Right from the first shift that we got him, I think he fired one off the crossbar in Buffalo in his very first game. He changed our franchise, but you're exactly right. Great players, and there's truly not that many great players in the history of this game. do make everybody around them ultimately the best that they can be. And when you get 1,100 assists, over 1,100 assists in the NHL, somebody's scoring a lot of goals because of Jumbo.
Thornton recorded 92 points in 58 games from the point of the trade in the 05-06 season. And while it was well known how good Thornton was, this was a move that exceeded all expectations.
Yeah, he really did, just because, you knew he was a great player in his prime, destined for greatness, but you didn't really know him firsthand as a person. And that really changed us in the organization and kind of gave us a second punch there too. I mean, you look at a lot of the great pairs of forwards that there have been with, Sid and Gino and Kane and Taves and such. And at that point in time, we had Jumbo and Patty. And, so it really, really helped in that regard.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and it's not, he won the Art Ross, he won the Hart Memorial, but it was him as a person. I've never been around anybody that loved the game of hockey as much as Jumbo. I mean, it was contagious, and that was just a bonus on top of everything. And, the respect I have for him as a player is off the charts. He's a Hall of Fame, an instant Hall of Famer. But as a man and as a person, it exceeds everything you could ever hope for.
Joe was also an immediate hit in the Bay Area as an unassuming superstar, never seeking out the bright lights, but so comfortable being his true self. Here's Mark Purdy.
Yeah, I think his personality just fit the Bay Area. He's pretty easygoing, nothing's that big a deal, and I'm just having fun. But he also didn't embrace it. He was a private guy in a lot of ways. It was interesting the way he dealt with the media, in that he was always available. You remember this, the dressing room door would open and after a game, and he'd be right at his locker, but he'd want to get everything out of the way first and then get to the shower. He didn't want to hang around, and that could be frustrating sometimes, because he would never be nasty or anything, but sometimes he just, yeah, whatever, boom, 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 come on to the shower. But I finally kind of pierced through that once when it was whatever year the All-Star game was in Dallas. I said to him, but could I, and I want to examine that, and he's like kind of rolling his eyes, but I said, could I like spend the All-Star weekend with you, kind of not stay in your room, but just be with you as you go through that weekend? And he, I don't know. And then finally agreed to it. And that turned out to be a great weekend for me in terms of learning about Joe, because his whole family was there. And so I got to spend time with all of them in the NHL hospitality areas. And then I remember he and Marla went off for coffee or something. I just remember spending the whole time. And his parents really opened my eyes. His dad, a very hard-nosed competitor type guy. His mom, really sweet and outgoing, kind of like Joe's personality. And so Joe drew from both of them. And then his brother, who's a personality like kind of Joe times two, he was fun to hang around with his kids. And I just remember having dinner with them. I think I went to dinner with them, and they started talking about their dad. This was a great anecdote where his dad apparently was just a vicious competitor, get in fights in any sport he played in. and his dad was a really good basketball player. And his dad, they had an alumni basketball game at his high school, I think it was, at Joe's dad's high school. Jumbo says, they said there are two basketball players in my basketball fans in my hometown said there are two basketball players you have to see in your life to play to get a real understanding of great basketball players. And one is Shaquille O'Neal, and the other is my dad, because his dad gets in an alumni basketball game and like gets in a fight and gets kicked out of the alumni basketball game. And so his dad's sitting there and kind of looking amused, but then he sees his dad turns to me and goes like, ask him if I won the game. Ask him if we won the game. Did you win the game? Yeah, we won the game. So we won the game. And Joe was just laughing like crazy, and his brother was too, and his mom. And so that was a great weekend for me, to kind of spend time and get to see Joe he was the combination of his parents. His dad, really strong, vicious competitor, and his mom, just kind of this sweet, happy-go-lucky, personality. I think because he did, I don't, you know, he always loved to see people. He was hard. It was hard to kind of pierce below that really, you know, hey, affable guy. But underneath that affable guy was, I think, an even more affable guy. And, you know, he wanted to retain some privacy, but in public, you know, always nice to people. And I think behind the scenes is too. It's great that he chose to stay in the Bay Area. I think that's his choice, right? And mm-hmm. I think he must think he fits here too.
And when asking this question, it was the same response over and over and over. Joe was Joe.
One word. He's real. Jumbo is real. What you see is what you get. You spend any time around him. He has that special aura and gift about him. You know, I've always said, it's not what you say or what you do. It's how you make somebody feel. He makes everybody feel loved and appreciated. Adults, grandparents, kids, anybody. I mean, he's just, he's a special, special person. He really is. And I'm so excited and happy for him to have his number up in the rafters and then instantly into the Hall of Fame, because he is one of the, as I say, one of the greatest that ever played this game.
He's so genuine and honest and humble, and I think that really fits, you know, the way we are in the Bay Area and especially in the South Bay. And I think that's where that kind of partnership and marriage took place, you know, with the fans and the community and Jumbo. And I think it's just been a perfect fit all the way through. And you know, even after the fact now, you know, everybody looks back and the moments were legendary.
Here's Sharks president Jonathan Becker.
One thing that Jumbo and the other guys you mentioned did is they were true to themselves. I don't know that they tried to fit into the Bay Area, be somebody else other than who they were. They were just naturally themselves. And I think in the Bay Area, we love people that are true to themselves. They're not trying to be stars necessarily. Maybe that's deep in the tech culture, because a lot of the tech guys are just who they are. Some of them lovable, some of them not so much. But the authenticity is key to success. And Jumbo was always who he was and nobody else.
And Brent Burns shared a great story about how Joe interacted with the world on a trip to Pittsburgh.
There's a story that never was told that is insane from Pittsburgh. We used to always be very quick getting home after pregame skates. Like it was always like me, Jumbo, Patty, Hurdle. Like it was a different group of guys that was like always rushed out and we would go back. And we were in Pittsburgh after pregame skate and we leave the rink and we're trying to get a cab. You know, we would always just kind of walk as we're trying to get one. So we're walking and like a city sewage truck is driving down the road and they were like in the downtown area. And all of a sudden the guy slows down and rolls his window down and goes, "Is that you, Jumbo Joe?" And he's like, "Hey, bud, what's up?" He's like, "What are you guys doing?" He's like, "So we said, we're trying to get a cab. We're trying to go back to the hotel for a pregame meal and nap." He's like, "No way. You guys want to ride?" And Jumbo's like, "Yep, let's go." Me, him, and Pavs jumped into the sewage truck. The guy talked to Jumbo the whole way home. He was a huge Joe fan and Jumbo loved it. He drove us to the hotel. We got out of the sewage truck and we went up for our meal. And I mean, that was like just those things kind of just happened all the time with Jumbo. It was so much fun every single day. Those are the things that I remember all the time, because there's not a lot of space up there on the hard drive. But those are things I'll never forget. Like the stories with him that I would just laugh for hours. And we still, when we have a group chat, or like those are the stories that come up all the time, but they happened every time. Every city we were on the road, there was something bananas that happened with him. And it was, I just feel so blessed that I got to play with him, that I got to learn from him, because I think it really did change my trajectory in the league by being able to be close to him and learn from him. And I know there's every other guy feels the same way. Like he just truly was a special guy. And yeah, it's crazy because it kind of almost, you forget about how good he was on the ice, and he was so dominant. Like it was crazy. But he was such a good human being off the ice that it kind of, like, you almost forget about it.
Longtime Sharks beat writer Kevin Kerr shared his take on Thornton, the star.
I mean, I always figured it was just because he's really the only true superstar that franchise has ever had, right? I mean, Marlowe had some good seasons, but, you know, whether Marlowe's a Hall of Famer is certainly debatable. He was never really in the Hart Trophy mix, right? Whereas Joe gets there and he wins a Hart Trophy right away. And he's a superstar right away. And I always felt that because of that, because he sort of he put that franchise on the map, they became a perennial contender. He was putting up 100 points for how many years? I mean, he was a legitimate superstar in the prime of his career when he got there. So I always figured that he sort of was the guy that got a lot of those, again, those casual fans that might not know a whole lot about hockey. He kind of became the guy that they gravitated towards, and they identified him as the guy that really was the guy that made the Sharks such a good team for so many years. So, you know, I'm sure his personality helped a little bit. He certainly fits in there with the lifestyle and all that, but I think it's just because he was the superstar hockey player, right? I mean, what other bona fide superstars have they ever had? I mean, you know, there was Dan Boyle of Genny Nabokov, right? Those guys were very good, but I mean, Joe was just a star for how many years he was in the Bay Area, right? at least 7 or 8 before it started to take a little bit of a downturn.
As Joe's legend grew, so did the talent in the South Bay, as the Sharks were true contenders almost every year. Brent Burns was acquired by San Jose in a trade with Minnesota in June of 2011, and he blossomed into a superstar himself. And he talked about his perception of Joe before coming to San Jose.
Yeah, I really didn't know too much other than he was an awesome hockey player, you know, a guy that you always had to know he was on the ice and, but really didn't know much. You know, I was kind of just trying to survive and kind of get my feet kind of solid in the league at the time. And, you know, those California teams, you didn't really play too often. It was a kind of a thing like you always look forward to because of the weather and going to California during the year, but we would only go one time. So it was, I didn't know a lot. Quickly changed once I got to know him. I mean, he was one of the first guys to introduce himself and make sure we were welcome. And ever since then, you learn so much from on the ice, off the ice, just the way he looked at the game. How he had fun during the game. I think that was, you know, I always tell guys now, there's two things. I always say, I wish everybody had a chance to play with him. And the other thing was he just, because of his personality and the way he was, it enabled everybody else to be themselves and to really grow in the player that they could be. Because he was such a unique character and still dominant that nobody else had to hide who they were and be, you know, pretend to be serious if they weren't. You know, he just really allowed every guy to bloom and it was awesome.
But Bernsey was also in awe of Thornton's skill.
Yeah, I think obviously his passing was insane. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the best passers ever in the game. But I think most people would know that. You know, obviously his shot was very underrated. He never wanted to shoot, but he could. And he had a great shot. I was always so impressed, and I always said to people that like never maybe got to the tank to see it live or, you know, anywhere when somebody doesn't get to see the game live and you don't realize how often the puck's in the air bouncing, it's not flat. A lot of times in the NHL, the ice is pretty brutal in a lot of places. And, the puck's bouncing all the time. And I never see it bounce over his stick. I mean, the skill level to do that, it was crazy. It would rarely did ever, when he passed it, did it bounce off another guy's stick. And whenever he was getting the puck, it just settled on his blade so fast, which enabled him to make those great plays so quick and really control and slow the game down, which is one of his best attributes. But it was crazy to watch how a puck would be coming around the board, spinning, and it would just hit his blade and die. And then he would make a backdoor tap and pass within a half second. I mean, it was such a skill. It was crazy. Like, we would just watch and be amazed by that puck. Just followed him around and just settled on his blade so fast. Yeah, he was just so gifted. But he was gifted in so many ways. I mean, you could talk about off the ice, how much he helped everybody on the ice. There's not many guys that could do it skill-wise or physical-wise. I mean, he was one of the guys that just did it. And always he was so dominant physically and with the puck skill wise and just such a special guy.
Burns was a loud, boisterous fellow himself, but he said there was just one Jumbo.
I don't think anybody else could be that way. And that's why he was so authentic when he was, because that is him. Like it was just every day he was just that guy. And, but it definitely enabled me to be who I am too, which was huge because, you know, I remember at the start, like, you know, I always had the backpack and all these like little things now that are like looked on like, oh, he's always, he's got all these things dedicated to the game and like, and he, and his work ethic. And that wasn't how it was at the start. You know, that was, those were weird things. Like, why is he doing this? Like, why doesn't he just kind of do everything else? But then when I was with Jumbo and, you know, I was with him and, you know, people could see the work and see all the other things. The other stuff was like, who cares? Like, he just let him do whatever he did. And then we were successful. We had great teams. We would, you know, they could see the work that we were putting in. So it didn't matter about all these other things, the backpack and all these like little intricate things, but that was because of Jumbo. And I've always said like him being the way he was, which was so authentic and it enabled all the rest of us to be ourselves and just because it just mattered about working, you know, we were having fun, but we were working and, you know, when the best player in the world is doing it and loud and having fun and joking around and it created such a special atmosphere. And it wasn't like he was just screwing around. Like he was like, if you looked at the tank, everybody always says like, you just have to survive the first 10 minutes. So it wasn't like we weren't ready to go. Jumbo's a huge part of that. Like he was the reason, like he was, you'd always have the guys relaxed, but you also knew if you weren't going, you were going to hear from it, which was amazing. Like that's, he was just a special guy and he was so authentic and, yeah, so the long-winded answer for that is no, I don't think anybody else could do it or replicate it because he was so gifted and so special on the ice and off the ice. His personality, his upbringing, all those things come together and you couldn't fake it. Like, you can't fake the way Jumbo is.
Year after year after year, Thornton and the Sharks were in the hunt. But the narrative changed for one season, 2014-15. After falling to the Kings in the spring of 2014, eliminating them from contention, the Sharks missed the playoffs the following season. Unthinkable. But the next year, with new head coach Pete DeBoer, the Sharks were one of the best teams in the league again, with Joe Thornton at the age of 36 having a renaissance and showing that he was still one of the elite players in the league. He had 19 goals, 63 assists, and 82 points, and he came in fifth in Hart Memorial Trophy voting.
In 2016, you know, what I remember about him that I don't think got enough attention was, didn't he finish like third in the league? And it was like, I think it was like after December 1st in 2016, he finished like first or second in the league in scoring at age 36, him and Sidney Crosby, right? And that to me was like one of the most impressive things that he did, at least in my time there, was he was so good in that 2015-16 season. The team sort of rode him, right? And to Pete DeBoer's credit and Doug Wilson's credit, they surrounded him with a lot more talent than maybe he had been used to. But that's something that always stands out to me in covering Joe, is that he was so good yet that year. And
Mark Purdy.
You know, my selfish side of it, I don't have to keep writing the same story. I don't have to keep, you know, for years and years you write this. They look great. They look great. They lost again. You know, they didn't get to the final. And that time I didn't have to write that I could talk about Joe and others on the team, but Joe especially, since he was the main man, you know, finally get through here, the demons, vanquishing the demons. And what a great story this is at, you know, at his age to do this. And I'm sure at some point it was written, you know, this is his chance. You know, you don't know if there's going to be any more. This is his chance. But also how everybody enjoyed taking that ride with him. That one at his Stanley Cup final press conference before game one in Pittsburgh, is like all the equipment guys and the trainers came to the press conference with him and like stood behind him during his press conference, right? And Joe got such a kick out of that, and they were laughing, and it was just a really joyful experience, and that Joe certainly deserved. It's a shame they didn't get the final step. I still think if game one had gone differently, and it almost did, that might have turned out in a different way. But I just remember writing that each step of the way, you know, the demons, okay, they vanquished one demon, they vanquished another demon, right? They got over, you know, the Kings had been their Moby Dick, right, of White Whale. They couldn't get past the Kings, including that horrible reverse sweep and all. And now, finally, the demons are gone, and Joe's the main demon killer. And that was a fun thing to cover.
The Sharks made it to the Stanley Cup Final that year, but fell to the Pittsburgh Penguins in six games. Thornton would once again make it to the Western Final in 2019, but he never had another chance to lift Lord Stanley's cup. Here's Sharks president Jonathan Becker.
I think it bothers us as executives of the franchise, as fans of the San Jose Sharks, probably more than it bothers Jumbo. He seems to be at peace with it. And I, honestly, I don't know how he is, but maybe that just is the point. He loves the game so much that he misses playing more than he misses not having raised the trophy. But I can't speak on his behalf, but he definitely seems at peace with it. I saw an interview with Dan Marino, also never won the big game. And frankly, I think Jumbo was more impactful in hockey than Marino might have been in football, although he had tons of records. And he said, I think his quote was, "Sports is cruel to those of us play it, but we love it anyway."
As emphasized by Mark Purdy, it was cruel.
Yeah, him and Marlowe and Pavelski, right? I mean, those three guys. But Joe, again, was the, he was the main man in terms of leading that charge. Yeah, sports can be cruel. That was really cruel. In the NBA, there's Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, guys like Hall of Famers, never quite got it done. It is cruel. But at the same time, he did get them there. They made a lot of conference finals. He brought people a lot of joy. Watching hockey over the years, those seasons when Joe was early, actually through his whole career, 6'4" guy coming across the blue line with speed, I would not have wanted to face that as a defenseman, and then trying to guess what he's going to do and where he's going to go. That will be my memory of Joe, and that he was always there. This is the stat that people don't talk about enough in my mind. Between 2007, 2014, he missed three games. That's it, right? He played 82 games for like three seasons in a row, and then missed one game and then another. Think about that. So 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all those seasons total between all the seasons, he missed three games. I remember talking to him about it once. I said, "Are you do this because," and he was hurting for some of them. And, "Do you do this because, you just can't stay away? Or do you do it recognizing, there might be," it's the same thing I think maybe Willie Mays used to say, where, there might be one person in the crowd that's never seen me play. And I want to, make sure I show up for that person one night. And he said, "Yeah, that's, that's part of my thinking. But also, I just love hockey," right? As you would say. All those games he played, and at least there were, in each of those games, there were several moments where, here he comes, try to stop him. It was, and then, he'd set up and be patient and wait for, and then I would love, my favorite thing about hockey is these guys have to make decisions so fast before they get nailed. And just trying to guess, where's Joe going to go now? Where's he passing now? Oh, well, why is he going? Oh, there, just those seasons after seasons. And so the cruel thing, yes, he never got to the final cup raising, but is that really, it's cruel, but I'd love for you to try to get Joe to talk about whether he feels it was cruel.
Win or lose, everyone loves Thornton, and everyone is always happiest when talking about him. Brent Burns.
In our game, it's full of amazing people and a lot of awesome teammates. I mean, very rarely do you not have a teammate you just love right away. And we always have those special people, but that's what I said before was like, the worst thing is that some of these guys don't have the chance to play with them and didn't get the chance to see him on the bus, win or lose. He's one of a kind. I mean, he is one of the only people like that. I remember we lost a tough game, and when you lose on the road, it is like the bus ride is brutal. Like, you don't even want your phone to ring. You don't want to drop anything. Like, it's just dead silent. And all of a sudden at the back of the bus, you just heard Jumbo, "Come on, boys, this is the National League. We're going back at it tomorrow." I mean, and then the bus ride was fun, and you have a guy that, you know, can put it in perspective for every other guy. Nobody can say anything bad about that because this is a guy that lays it down every single day, does the work, is one of the best players ever to play the game. So when he says, like, you know, you got to just get past it, and then we're back at it tomorrow, and we're so blessed to be able to do it. You know, we're laughing the rest of the bus ride, and then the next day we came back to work. I mean, that was one of the things. Like, we had the most fun, but we also did the most work, you know, and he was the reason for it. He set the tone for that. And, you know, guys don't even realize how much he was working. He was working at home all the time by himself. Like, it was just normal for him to get up and ride the bike at home in the master bedroom. And then another thing that they always did, him and Tavea, they always had guys over for dinner. So you go to his house and they had the cats and cats at the house. And, you know, you go into his bedroom, he's got the bike there. And you're like, holy, like this, it's true. Like, the guy just worked nonstop, but he enjoyed doing it. And he dragged a lot of guys into that. And you know, I've always said, like, one of my biggest attributes is my work. And a lot of that I got from getting to watch Jumbo and be with him in the summer. And we had such a great group of guys working out there and just training and pushing each other. But we had so much fun doing it. So you didn't realize you were just crushing each other all day. And it was great.
Now Jumbo was in a unique position. He's housemate to a young man with all the pressures of the world on his shoulders, Macklin Celebrini, whose name Thornton announced at the 2024 NHL Draft.
Here we go.
Let's go, Sharks!
With the first overall selection in the 2024 NHL Draft, the San Jose Sharks are very proud to select from Boston University, Macklin Celebrini.
Jonathan Becker told us what he hopes Celebrini takes away from living with Joe.
Yeah, so love that Joe was willing to do this because I think being a pro is more than just what you do on the ice. In fact, what you do off the ice is probably 5-10 times more important. How you train every day, how you get your mentally right, what it means to be on the road for 7-8 months of a year. You know, when you're on the back-to-back halfway through the season and your body is not what it was at the beginning of the season, all those are things you can't really prepare yourselves for. You need somebody who's gone through it before. Plus, you know, the pressure of being number one overall, the unrealistic expectation. You know, we remember Joe from his prime. We probably forget he had a rough first year in Boston as well. And, you know, Boston fans are tough, maybe a little tougher than they are here in San Jose, thank goodness. But there's a lot to have a pressure of the franchise on you. And there are conversations that Macklin and Joe were having that we'll never hear about, but those of how to be a professional hockey player, and particularly when you're away from the ice, are the ones I think he can help the best.
Here's Joe Will.
I think just osmosis, just watch how he conducts himself in his life. The joy of the game, you know, if he can see that, and Macklin does have that, but just, it's so inspirational seeing the joy for the game that Jumbo has. And then just, you know, the little nuances that great players can share with each other because they both share a unique mind and unique skill set that just learn from them as much as you can in the little things and in the way you conduct yourself.
Looking back, we asked about favorite Jumbo moments.
I mean, there's so many moments and memories and I loved when he got his hattie. You know, I think just some of the runs we went on, just to see the sacrifice that he did, like the things that nobody realized, like when he would, there were so many times we questioned, like, I don't know if he has like the receptors in the body that we all have that feel pain. I always said to him, like, I don't even know if he's that tough. I just don't think he feels it. Like, it was so insane. I'm like, maybe like, it's not going all the way upstairs to the penthouse, to the brain, and telling them, hey, your finger's hanging on by a thread, then this should really hurt. Where the rest of us are like, you can't deal with anything else other than the pain. I mean, he played through so much stuff, which was another thing, like, that helped all of us. Like, you just think back, like, to some things that he dealt with. It's like, then how could you not push through things? You know what I mean? It was crazy. I mean, and I just loved watching that. I loved how, like, routined he was. And how much work he put into it. Like, at any given time on the clock, you knew where he was because it was always the same. And but you could usually hear him anyways, but you always knew. Like, he was very routine. in his craft, and he was always doing something to be better about it, whether it was working out, stretching. Like him and the trainers had such a great relationship, like just to see how the preparation of his gear would go in. And I mean, he was just, there's so many things. I mean, the on-ice stuff is what it is what it is. He was incredible. I mean, there were so many things that he did on a night-to-night basis. Like, I used to just love sitting on the bench and like he'd get an assist or goal, and then it would pop up like, oh, that was his 1400th point, 1500th point. And you're like, holy crap. Like, that is insane. You know, and it was like, at the end of it, it was almost like every goal, there was something absurd. And it was like, you'd see names that you're like, oh my God, all I do is read about that guy. Like, that guy's a legend of our game. Oh, and Jumbo beat him. That's the thing. It was incredible to see. And you didn't realize it because he was such a good human being off the ice that you're like, this guy is one of the best ever. And I always said that to my wife because they would come over, their family would come over, and we were just hanging out, and he'd be playing with the kids. And I'm like, I feel like I should be just taking a picture of him with my son right now because this is so crazy. But you just never did. And you're like, oh my God, like this guy is such a legend of our game. He's helped all of us. And that's why you hear the stories you do from every single guy, because it was truly crazy. I mean, from every statistical standpoint, he was insanely dominant. And then off the ice, he was the best guy ever.
That's Brent Burns, and Jonathan Becker shared his favorites.
One that just shows his personality, and one that I just remember, which makes me laugh, and people that don't really understand Joe and what a special person he was when he was trolling Henrik Sedin. You remember that? His glove in his face when he was talking to the ref and objecting to a call. That was probably that, 2011 year as well, late December. I don't know, sometime around Christmas or New Year's. I don't remember exactly because I remember it was late in the year. That was so classic Joe watching that. So that's not a hockey move, but that just is such a personality move. That's got to be in the list. And then, I don't know, everyone's going to say the slide because that's just such a memorable image. Maybe my other one is more recent. The hat trick against Boston in, yep, what was that, 19? His only third hat trick in his entire career, as I recall, and maybe 8 or 10 years since the last one. Just the fact that against it was the team that drafted, and I think the crowd was then like, oh my God, is he going to get another goal? Just the whole energy and emotion, the love towards the end of his Sharks career, fantastic.
The Sharks president also shared what Joe means to the franchise.
The short answer is there's no way to sum it up in one word or one sentence. I mean, somehow Jumbo put us on the national stage. Lots of people will tell you they fell in love with the Sharks, fell in love with the game of hockey here in the Bay Area because of Patty Marleau. It's one of the reasons we call him Mr. Shark. You know, we were already a very good team. Sometimes people forget the 2003-2004 season, one of the best Shark seasons that we've ever had. Unfortunately, eventually lost to the Flames. But it wasn't really till Jumbo showed up that we were thrust on the national or even their international stage. And that's partly the play on the ice, but it's the person. I've never met anybody that so exudes his love of the game of hockey, his love of the teammates, his love of his family, the love of San Jose as well. We could almost call him Mr. San Jose because he just, even though he wasn't from here, he became all of us almost overnight. You put up a picture of what Sharks hockey feels like, and it's Jumbo's beard and his smiling face.
And Doug Wilson, the architect of the Thornton era, shared what seeing Joe's number in the rafters will mean.
Well, it's special because they belong there. They belong in the Hall of Fame. Everything they've done for the franchise, for the game of hockey, and how they live their lives is, it's truly, I say it, it's been a privilege for all of us to be around. And for Jumbo and for that become the beginning of a couple other celebrations, it is so well-deserved. And he's so humble, he'll make it about other people. But what he's brought to all of us is very, very unique and special.
And Wilson ended with this on Jumbo.
If there's anybody that doesn't appreciate Joe Thornton, then you don't love the game of hockey. His work ethic, his love for the game, he remembers where he came from. The only thing he loves more than the game of hockey is his family. And you watch him around his mom and dad, Wayne and Mary, when he's with Tabea or River and Isla or his brothers, John and Alex. He is everything you would want a hockey player to epitomize, and he does. He's a special, special person.
On Saturday, November 23rd, 2024, the San Jose Sharks will forever memorialize Joe Thornton by raising his sweater into the rafters. Thornton was the face of the franchise, the beloved superstar, and will always be a San Jose Shark. And his number 19 is in the rafters forever. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Dan Rusinowski, and I'll see you at the Shark Tank.
Pavelski feeds to Burns in deep. Oh, centering feet behind. Two players that were open on the left wing side. One of them was Joe Thornton. Pavelski back for Thornton. He's across the line. Shoots. He scores! The hat trick for Joe Thornton. And he puts the Sharks in front 5-4. And SAP Center explodes in excitement.